what? A parable. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now make note of that modest apparel. Now God created both a male and a what? Female. And then he tells the females here to dress in what? Modest apparel. Now, should men dress like women? Should women be dressing like men? No, there should be a distinction. Should there not? Are men and women the same? No! God created them what? Male and what? Female. Now, the Bible says that this subject here that we are addressing this morning is about modesty and identity. Not simply modesty, but modesty and what? Identity. Now, the definition of modesty is behaving according to a standard of what is proper, decent, and pure, especially not displaying one's body. Now, modesty is based on the idea that God has an order for all things. Everything is supposed to be done decently and what? In order. You know, can you imagine if we didn't have order in the church, what kind of chaos it would be? You know, everybody would be wanting to give their opinion. Everybody would want their time on the floor and they want to speak. You know, there's got to be order. There's got to be decency. You look at creation as a whole, you see things are in order. Now, there are some people who have a problem with modesty. And they have a problem with modesty because they have a problem with God and His Word. Now, there are people who do not dress in a modest or orderly way. You know, they do not dress in a decent, pure way. They do not avoid what we would call lewdness. Now, modest clothing reveals parts of the body that should be covered, are worn so tight as they leave little to the imagination. You know, I've known some women who think just because they wear a dress or a skirt and a top that they are modest. Yet if one is really modest, do you think they're going to squeeze into that dress like a sausage going into a casing? That is not modesty. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, I was like, oh man, you know what? They had the length of the skirt right, but you know what? They squeezed into that thing so tight, it left nothing to the imagination. And yet they said, oh, that's okay. And I'm thinking, no, it's not okay. That still is immodest. If one is truly modest, their clothes will cover their bodies. And it won't show every lump, bump, and curve they have. Is a woman dressed modestly when they show their cleavage? No. Now, how about their thighs? I got one no. Got two no's. Everybody ought to say what? No! That's how hard is that? Let's form that word together. No. Is there such a thing as a modest bikini? Isn't that something? A modest bikini. You know, one may have a body of a model or worthy of gaining attention of lustful men, but displaying it for all to see is immodest, and it's called nakedness in the Bible. You know, it's quite disturbing to see how some women dress in summer in public. You know, one of the good things about winter is usually they put more clothes on. Amen? That is a good thing. But why is that in summer that they want to strip down for everybody to look at them? Some of them have less clothing on than it takes for someone to knit a pair of stockings for a hummingbird. And by the way, the church doesn't seem to be exempt from this. It's shocking the way some people come to church. It's like they're going to a nightclub or something, and you shouldn't be going to a nightclub. I heard of a church here in our town. Now, I only heard of it from somebody who went there. They say the teenage girls there walk around in miniskirts with stiletto heels on, tight tops. And one of the members told me this. I don't even know what brought it up, but he said they dress like little whores. Now, that's not my words. That's theirs. I've never been to that church. I pastor this one. And they said this. That subject is never broached by the pastor. Never mentions it. Now, either he's not living up to the command to preach the whole counsel of God, or he's ignorant about what God says, or maybe he likes getting an eyeful. But there's something wrong with that. Either that, or perhaps he's simply a coward that is beholden to those parents who let their daughters dress like that. Now, times may have changed, but God's word remains the same. And his standards of dress and modesty, folks, are still in effect. It used to be preachers would preach against women exposing their ankles. It's true. Then they would denounce women exposing their calves. Then it's their thighs. Now they preach against exposing an old cow. Some of you will get that next week. But I got to wonder, has the phrase modest apparel simply been removed from the Bible? Am I not using the right one? Or is there a mistake here in my King James Bible? I think not. And you say, well, preacher, it's not a heaven or hell issue. Well, it's not. But that doesn't make it irrelevant either. You know, there's a lot of things the Bible says that isn't a heaven and hell issue, but it's all relevant. God wants us to put into practice everything he says. And does not 2 Timothy 3:16 say this? All? How much? All. That means every bit of it, isn't it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it tells us what is right, does it not? Tells us what is wrong, does it not? Tells us how to get right, and it tells us how to stay right. And this issue of modesty needs to be put into practice by God's people. I hope you understand, ladies, that God made man to be physically attracted to women. How many guys would agree with that? And if you're not physically attracted to women, this probably isn't the church for you. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay? But he made us to be physically attracted to women. Now, since men are still covered in flesh, and that physical attraction can also lead men to sin, can it not? Jesus said this in Matthew 5:27-28, and he said this in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. Now that's good, right? The Ten Commandments, that's one of the ten. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How dare God tell us what to do? You ever realize in the Bible there's a lot of do's and there's a lot of don'ts? And we're better off if we practice the do's and don't do the don'ts. Now, it goes on to say, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his what? In his heart. So, a guy can look at a woman, and if she's displaying herself, you know what? You can cause him to what? Commit adultery. Now, how many think adultery is a one-person thing? No, it takes two to commit that, doesn't it? And so if you're responsible for causing a brother to be a stumbling block because of the clothes you're wearing, you know what? Maybe you need to change your clothes. Amen? Now, it's clear here that God understands, and you need to understand, that the sight of a female body attracts the lusts of men. Whether that man is saved or lost, they're still men. Now, Bible evidence abounds concerning this. Remember David? He wasn't where he was supposed to be, so he was looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at. And when he looked over from his palace, he saw a woman there, right? What was her name? Bathsheba. And he got a good glimpse of her, didn't he? Now, was Bathsheba in the wrong? No, I don't think so. She was bathing, and she was bathing on a roof pot. And you know what? David shouldn't have been there. She wasn't thinking that the king was back in his palace. He should have been on the field fighting the battle. But he glances over and sees her, right? Now, how many think he just took a... Oh, no. You know, you can't help what's coming into your field of vision, guys. But you can, you know, control what you continue to look at. And so he continues to look, and he's like, hey, man, she's mighty fine. And so he calls a servant, says, hey, you know what? Who's that woman? And he finds out it's one of his mighty men's wife. And he says, bring her to me. Now, there's something wrong with that. The guy already had, a few wives? And he said, bring her to me. Now, how did it all start? It started with a look. Did not Job say, I have made a covenant with mine eyes? Why then should I think upon a maid? Jesus said adultery is committed in the heart of the man when he looks at a woman and lusts after her. You know, there used to be a song, I'm a Girl Watcher. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, come on, all you old folks, you know what I'm talking about. That was before my time, but you all know it. But remember that? Yeah, you know what? There's something wrong with that, isn't there? That's right. But you know what? Don't give them much to look at, ladies. That's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about modesty here. If you dress in a manner to entice a man to lust, you share in that sin of adultery. You know, many Christian women and girls wear clothes which cause men to lust. And here's the thing. Don't tell me you don't know what you're doing. You ain't that stupid. Amen! You know, maybe I shouldn't say that. Earl told me that if it's not for sale, you shouldn't display it. That's what he told me. Now, you know what? I know this ain't a popular subject, but it still needs to be addressed. It is found in the Word of God, and it is an issue confronting churches and God's people today. You know, it's time we start dressing and acting like Christians ought to. Now, and when we do, the better off we'll be. You know, what you say says a lot about you. It does. You know, when I was in the Air Force and I had to go to work, you know, they didn't let me choose what to wear. You know, I had to wear the uniform, right? And if I wore my dress blues, you know, I had all the stuff on there, your ribbons, your buttons and all that stuff and your little hat. And you know what? When I wore that, you know what people thought? They thought I was in the Air Force. Can you imagine that? Correct? You know, I could have even pulled it on them. You know, if I wasn't in the Air Force and I walked around with an Air Force uniform, you know, people would still think I was what? In the Air Force. You know, how many of you have ever watched those strong arm commercials with those guys in the Army? Do they look like they're from the Army? Not a single one does. Those uniforms are so outdated. Every time I see it, I say, why don't they get a new updated uniform? And why don't these guys have haircuts? And why don't they, you know, I said, they don't look, I mean, even their salutes are lame. And I mean, it's horrible. I don't believe they've ever served a day in the military. But anyways, you know what? People would think I was an airman because I wore the Air Force uniform. And you know what? What you wear says a lot about you. Amen. You ever read there's a verse, I think it's in Proverbs, that talks about a woman, right? That has a slit in her skirt or something? Or it talks about the attire of what? A harlot. Now, okay, that's what it's talking about. But anyways, you know what? Obviously, you know what? Somebody must think she's a harlot. Right? And how do they think that? It's not because she's dressed like a nun. Right? Now, I'm not saying you got to look like you came off the Mayflower. Okay? That's rough. Nobody will take a second glance. That's okay. But you ought to dress modestly. What you wear says a lot about you. Now, God not only addresses modesty, but he also addresses identity. Now, under normal conditions, you ought to be able to look at somebody and you ought to figure out real quick, like, what that thing is. It ought to be reflecting of a male or reflecting of a what? Female. There should be no confusion whatsoever. There should be no problem recognizing a person and their identity. You know, men should look like men. They should dress like men. They should behave like men. God created you a male, act like one, look like one. And by the way, talk like one. Hi. You know what? I don't like that. No. Talk like one. You know, a young lady ought to talk like a lady, look like a lady. They ought to dress modestly. They ought to identify with their gender. And by the way, you ought to tell your kids do the same thing. Amen. Well, it's a different generation. I don't care about the generation. Get that nonsense out of your head. You know, God designed men and women. They ought to look, behave, talk, walk different. Amen. From any angle, I ought to be able to tell what you be. You know, there's a lot of confusion in the world today over that, isn't there? Man, you know what? I go to some places, I talk to somebody, and I look at Connie and I say, what was that? I don't know what I'm talking to. And I don't know what to call that thing. I'll never forget, I was doing real estate and I was showing this guy a home. And I knocked on the door and I didn't know what it was. And so I took a stab. You know, it's kind of like, you know, well, anyways. But I said, well, ma'am, we're here to show the home. Ma'am, who are you calling, ma'am? And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you want. I started stumbling and bumbling, and the guy I was with, my client, he's laughing up a storm. He's not helping me one iota. And to this day, I still don't know what I was talking to. But you know, we see an absence of manhood today. A real absence of manhood. You know, masculinity, they keep talking about toxic masculinity. There's not enough of it. It's not toxic. It's simply man being a man. And stop trying to put that label on a decent guy. You know, we got a glut of effeminate males today. It's horrible. And then we got a hoop of masculine females. And then yet worse, we have people who don't know what they are. That's sad. You know, like I say, I've been confused with a number of folks. I still don't know what they are. But you know who's really confused? That person. You know, I don't want to be mistaken by anyone thinking that I'm a woman. Amen? You know, I'm going to dress like a man. I'm going to wear my hair like a man. And you know what? I'm going to talk like a man. And yes, after a day of hard labor, I'm going to come home stinking like a man. You know, from any angle, I only want to give them the impression that I am 100% male. I am a masculine man. I've not been emasculated by my wife either. Boy, do I get tired of hearing nonsense like that. Remember going to pick tile out one time, and there at the cash register, it said, any man here that is married that does not have a permission slip from his wife to buy a product here will not be served. I went up there and I said, that's what I want. He says, well, what about your wife? She was with me. I said, she wants what I want. Whoa. I said, whoa, what you got a problem with? I said, this man is the head of his home. He makes the decisions. And I don't care about your stinking permission slip. I said, either ring it up or I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere else. Amen. I didn't go, dear, is that all right? Is that what you would like? Do I want, really? Oh. You know, if you're one of those guys that are all saying yes, dear, no, dear, you got a problem. Amen. All you are is a little boy, and you're tugging on your mama's apron strings, and you women married a boy and not a man. Do I need to go any further there? I remember when I first got here. Remember this psychobabble? There's a lot of that. But remember the one that said, I remember this woman coming up to me and said, when I first got here, well, Pastor, I think you need to get in touch with your feminine side. I said, what? She says, you need to get in touch with your feminine side. I said, let me tell you something. If I had a feminine side, I'd crucify it. I said, God didn't give me a feminine side. He made me a man. He made me 100% male. And how dare you tell me I need to get in touch with a feminine side? I've never told a woman you need to get in touch with your masculine side, because most of them say, well, I already got that down. That's the kind of society we live in today. It is unfortunate. If I were a feminine female, I'd be appalled if someone said you need to get touch with your masculine side. But then many wouldn't, because they already rule their roost. Ding, 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 ding! Pick up the phone! You know, I wasn't going to get all worked up in Sunday school. I was going to be nice. You people bring out the worst in me. I'm blaming it on you, not me. But look at this. Leviticus 19, 1 and 2 says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, who do you speak unto? Who was the leader of the congregation? What was he? There you go. You see that? I didn't write that. God did. You know, if God's going to speak to your family, let me tell you something. He's going to speak to the head of the home, and that's not you, ladies. Amen, preacher. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am what? Holy. You know, a holy God demands a holy people. God has set a high, holy standard for his folks. Our standard is not the world's standard. Our standard is to be what God said we are to be. When are Christian people going to learn that we do not establish our standards for dress or for living after the world? Here's how most Christians live. Most churches are like this too, by the way. You know what? The world's only a step or two ahead of us. But we think we're pretty good Christians because we're a step or two behind. But you know what happens in about 5 years? We're right where the world used to be. And now they're over here. And then we're just playing catch up all the time. Why don't we just stay put on the settled word of God? We're not supposed to foul the world's standards. That's ridiculous. You know, everything I do outwardly should come as a result of my desire to live a holy life. Nothing I do on the outside, however, makes me spiritual on the inside. You don't get it by osmosis. You know, it's pretty easy to look the part of a Christian, right? I mean, if I walked down the street today and I had a Bible in my hand, how many people would think, oh, there's a Christian, right? They would think, you know. But you know what? They don't know what book I'm holding. I could be a Muslim for all they know. But you know what I'm trying to get at? This doesn't make the Christian. But if we take care of the inside, the outside will eventually take care of itself. And you know what? The outside is a reflection of what we are inwardly. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, okay. Remember Jesus talked about our speech? And he said, you know what? If your speech is wrong, your heart is wrong. So if our dress is wrong, what else is wrong? Oh, there you go. Thank you, Joe. Our heart ain't right. Pretty easy, isn't it? Now, if you are a Christian, God has a high holy standard for you. We are not to take our standards from the world. You know, I don't care how Miley Cyrus dresses. I don't even know, wouldn't probably recognize her. But you know, why are we patterning ourselves after these tarts? He said, what? You heard. Tarts! Why do you let your little girls grow up and be like that? Isn't there anybody better in the Bible to pattern themselves after? I think so. Your appearance, ladies, ought to identify you as a woman. You know, guys, when you shake a man's hand,
Give them a man's handshake. You know, I hate that when a guy goes, you know, and it's usually sweaty. Sweaty. Now, you said, will you shake that hand? I do. And I put a little extra oomph in my handshake. And I hang on to that as I squeeze those bones and I look at them and I just keep smiling and say, boy, it's sure good to see you. And I just, it helps with my grip. And then I watch the pain come across their face. You say, you know, you're mean. Yeah, okay, whatever. I've been called worse. But you know, if you shake a man's hand and he puts something in it, it never hurts. That's right. So, don't be a Mrs. Sissy Britches, guys. Sissy Britches. Don't walk like you got sugar in your shorts. You're lighting the loafers. You know what I'm talking about. There should be no swish in your hips. Do I need to make myself clear and plain? If you don't get it, come back and I'll help you out. Maybe with a size 10 upside you. No. But being a man doesn't mean you're rude. Doesn't mean you're crude. It means you're a gentleman. You know, what I'm trying to get at is be what God created you to be. Be a man. If you're a man, be the head of the home. By the way, that should be undisputed. Nobody should wonder if you're in charge. Nobody! And ladies, what's your job? Be submissive. Mm-hmm. Nobody should wonder if you are or not. Well, just get over yourself. Let God be God. You don't need to be the control freak. Well, I hear one lady go, yeah, that's right, okay. Every one of you ought to be shouting, amen! That's right, preacher. Give me some more. I would, too. But when somebody looks at you. You know, when I look at Shane, I don't see any feminine side to him. I see that Q-tip head. I think, man, he's a guy. Amen. I look at Edward, I said, man, he's a guy. You know, that's the way it should be. I shouldn't look at somebody and go, what is that? You know, when I grew up, you knew what was what. Now I'm confused. And it's not because my vision has gotten worse. All right, we'll stop and have some more in a little bit. Issue.